It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, final hour for us, brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Big story of the day, just a couple of minutes away from right now as we continue to get ready for the Falcons and the Saints on Sunday. Thanks again to offensive line coach Dwayne Ledford for hanging out with us at
12:40. He knew what he wanted to say.
About what?
I'm the run game coordinator.
Yeah, yeah.
You're damn right I want to run the ball.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I don't know why. Just like, yeah, it would be, we'd run the ball 45 times and throw it 10 times.
Yeah.
That would be my favorite breakdown.
Oh, yeah, I want to run the ball. Well, I do know that we paid this quarterback a lot of money to throw it.
But we also pay the quarterback $100 million.
To throw the football. So, but yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
If he thought that question was loaded, he would have really liked the one that I didn't ask.
What's it?
Which was, Raheem says his pass rushers are whooping your guys' ass in practice. Is that true?
Yeah. But no.
That he would have said, well, you know.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know. But I know. Offensive line coach, first of all, they're the funniest dudes. They're funny as hell. Because you got to have a sense of humor to deal with all them dudes.
Because it's a very unique group.
It's a very unique group of people.
Is it the weirdest group of people on the football team?
Yes. Okay. Without a doubt. The offensive line is that one.
Yeah.
Because you got, like, I was looking for that tweet that one time I had retweeted about the personalities of the offensive line. They had different types. You got the over-intellectual one.
Sure.
Who everyone is, and usually the center.
Yeah, because every offensive line has one huge nerd.
Yes, you got that one guy. You got a scumbag who is
grimy.
Who buries people in there.
So
you know.
give the descriptions, and then we'll say who they are on the Falcons offensive line, because I know who those two are.
You got the grimy one.
Uh-huh.
You got the athletic leader, like constant professional.
Okay, yeah, we know who that is.
And I can't remember the other one.
The Falcons don't have one of these guys, but there's always a super country dude.
Yes.
That probably just wears overalls.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah, but they have it. Hey, that's Caleb. McGarry is that.
Oh, I was going to say McGarry was the dirtbag.
He's that too.
Okay.
You know,
oh, yeah, that is McGarry. It's funny because he's not, because he's from Fife, and I've been, you know what I mean? Whatever, it's fine. He's much more country than the place that he's from, but that's fine. I mean, you know who the super smart guy is.
Yes.
That's the right guard.
Yeah.
And then the leader is Matthews.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, but
that's
how it usually checks out when you think about
Lindstrom.
You
know, for some reason, I couldn't think of Chris Lindstrom.
Yeah, about the offensive line, because they're all, I mean, I've been around. Oh, here it is right here. Okay. Okay, great offensive line. They have one gentle giant.
Which is Bergeron.
Okay. A savvy dirtbag.
That might be Lindstrom.
Yeah, a savvy dirtbag, an overthinking intellectual.
Oh, is that the center, maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
And then two deranged psychopaths. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two deranged psychopaths.
McGarry's definitely
McGarry's one of those.
And I guess Matthews, too.
Yeah.
But
it's a great, unique group. And I always love being around the linemen. You know me, I like grimy linemen. Like, I hate it when my linemen showed up with suits.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell you got that on for? And go get your damn issued collar, shirt, some duck heads, and some damn boots. And let's go. And let's go.
Yeah, the grimier the better on the offensive line.
No, no damn offensive line getting out of no damn Mercedes.
Tailored suits. What are we doing here? Get out of an F-150.
Yeah.
Have some muddy jeans on and some boots.
And go work.
And get in there and be an absolute dirtbag.
Yeah.
Poking people in the eye at the bottom of the pile and all that kind of stuff.
All that dirtbag.
Speaking of dirtbags, Smokin' Joe Patrick's going to join us in about 15 minutes from right now. He actually played offensive line in high school.
Really?
Yeah, I think center.
Yeah, you know what? Joe did play ball.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But he's certainly a dirtbag.
Yeah, that, we know that. We know that. Jake, we know this. Like Joe is he's an undersized center, so you got to be real nasty to do that. And I'm sure Joe.
And he uses those skills in the scrum, too.
Yeah, because I saw.
D-Led's got an elbow or two.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
D-Led, like, he'll fight you, though.
Back in the day, probably.
Yeah, D-Led got that old rusty pocket knife. Not the one, not the switchblade, the one you got to put your fingernail in and pull it up.
Oh, yeah.
With that little rust.
Careful putting that back in because it kind of sticks, you know?
Yeah, man, you get that thing.
You got to push hard, but don't get your finger in
there. Yeah, man.
You get lockjaw.
D-Lay got the rusty buck knife.
I spent a lot of my childhood being scared of getting lockjaw, like getting tetanus or whatever, like step on a rusty nail.
Right.
My dad really drove it home that you step on a rusty nail or piece of metal, you're going to get lockjaw. I don't ever think I've ever met anybody that got it.
I don't think I've ever in my life heard anybody get lockjaw.
Yeah, me
neither. I'm sure that it happens.
I've never heard of it.
But I've never been around somebody who's gotten it.
Multiple.
I've never been around nobody who, cracked their pelvis kicking a ball.
Yeah, I never heard of that.
I just met one.
Like, I feel like maybe my childhood was spent this way, certainly with lockjaw. Also, quicksand. We were really given the impression that quicksand was going to be a threat in life. Never seen it. Remember that? Like in all the movies and cartoons, everything was always like quicksand was going to get people.
No,
you don't?
No, I remember that.
I just remember quicksand was a real threat in pop culture.
I don't think
I've ever seen any of
it. I don't remember none of that.
Whirlpools, too.
Also whirlpools. Never seen one except for in the bathtub, and they're very small, and they're probably not going to pull you down.
But they're out there.
Maybe.
Yeah, they're out there. The whirlpools, they're out there.
Out in the ocean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Right.
I don't know where.
They're not like they're small. They're not like the sip shinking type.
They're not the ones sucking you down into the bottom of the ocean.
Well, Abe's a cruise guy. He knows.
He would know.
Not worried about whirlpools on the cruise.
Okay. Yeah,
not at all.
Again, just a lot of things we're told to be worried about that we haven't had to be. And then all these things they didn't give us a heads up for that are actually the things to be worried about that are everywhere. All right, let's get to the big story of the day. Kick off the
week. Are you scared of something right now?
Scared of all kinds of stuff, yeah. Randy. Failure.
Part of life, man.
An unknown future.
Bow! Bow!
I'm scared of joint pain. Oh, no, I'm not, because of QC Kinetics. You don't have to be scared of joint pain.
Hell yeah.
They've got non-surgical treatment for it.
Hell yeah.
The perception from the outside looking in is that they're a mess. The reality is what the Saints make it, right? We've been in that situation before. We've been in that situation even with us right after the draft. And we just come out and you go through your process and you got to believe in what you're doing. So whatever they got going on in the house doesn't matter to us. Our preparation has to be as if everything's in line. They're coming in all guns blazing, and they're ready to go. And we got to be prepared to play our best game.
No, the Saints are a damn mess.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
they're a mess.
The Saints are a damn mess.
But that's none of your business.
But that's none of your business. Exactly. That's them problem. Mm-hmm. That's a them problem down there. And when you talk about going down there, and we mentioned it, and we're more likely we'll see it again tomorrow about the trend that you've seen in this league. When that first game after a coach has been fired, the team plays well, they find ways to win. It's just what it is. And so how do you prepare yourself if you're the Falcons? You go down and kick their ass because you're better than them. You know, and I know we had fun with it on Monday. You weren't here, but we were just talking about because a lot of Falcon fans, oh, man, a week too late.
You had fun without me?
Yeah, obviously,
Ridiculous.
Yeah, me and Freaky always have fun. We have a lot.
Whenever you're out, I make sure to have a terrible time.
Yeah, I'm sure this not me. But, I do my
anyway,
best.
Sorry.
I do my best. But and all the Falcon fans are like, oh, why couldn't it have been us? They lose to us and then they fire him. Because
right.
I think a lot of them realize – the trend.
Yeah, right. The new coach energy.
Yeah, the new coach energy and everything, because I do believe it's a thing, but I believe it's a thing because you allow it to be a thing, because you allow a team to hang around, because you allow this message that this guy is coming in telling them the night before the game, and you're, just go beat them. I mean, the Saints have some good players. I mean, they traded away their best defender and Marshawn Lattimore. They're still banged up. They lost Olave, and now you see him and his family like, well, we don't want them to play. I'm like, okay, fine. Your family got to look after you sometimes. Whatever.
What did they say?
It's kind of basically like, they want to be real careful with the concussion thing. And it's coming from his camp. Rightfully so.
Okay.
Rightfully so.
Why is his camp talking?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's a new thing.
Because it's 2024.
It's 2024. It's a new
2024.
Thing.
They probably went on a podcast.
Yep, it's what they do.
Obviously, there's a million things to be intrigued by about this game. We'll get into the keys to a win tomorrow at 1:20, as we always do on Fridays. Beyond all the stuff we mentioned, which is all important, this is their first opportunity to play a game that could be treated as almost like a look past game, something like that, since the Seattle game. They played Seattle in a way that is not acceptable.
Right.
Like, they showed up to that game unprepared. I guess the vibe in the stadium wasn't very good. Don't care about that. Those guys didn't play any snaps, but the Falcons did. And they had three false starts on their first drive. Yes. They just were undisciplined all day long, and they lost the game by 20 points to a team that I think they're better than at home. So it'll be good to, and it's a division game, and they've been into all the division games. Obviously, you're going to get fired up to play the Cowboys in that building, even though the Cowboys aren't good, but you're going to be fired up to play the Cowboys. This is the first one where it's like you could find yourself with that look past mentality. Don't right. do it.
No.
The Seahawks game has to be the one time where that happened and reminded you that you cannot do
because
that.
Because I think that when you view your status sometimes as a team is like, we ain't done nothing yet.
I would hope that they would have thought that even back then.
And I hope they think like that. We ain't done nothing yet. Yeah, we're in a nice spot
exactly right.
in the South and everything, but we still have not done anything yet. Like, we don't have the South sold up.
Yeah, technically
like,
they haven't.
Technically, the hats ain't been printed.
Yeah.
You know, and so you can't go into the rest of the season with that mentality. But if you win this game, you know that the South is hemmed up. You know what I mean? And so I think that when you view it from that standpoint, you go down there, you take care of business. And that's the biggest thing. You got to take care of business. We know this. That place is going to be crazy. One, because Saints, you know, their fans, they have really good fans. And then the Atlanta Falcons are coming to town.
Yeah.
And we understand the whatever you want to call between these two fan bases. And everything like that.
That's so also all they got now.
And that's year. It. And
that's
so why wouldn't it be like that? And
let's yell at some Falcons fans.
And for them to go down there half-stepping, man, I'd be so disappointed.
Me
if they,
too.
If they go down there and trick off this
that's,
game.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I would be really disappointed if they don't show up completely buttoned up and take care of the business that they should take care right. of in this game. Because, again, there's still a little of that lingering disappointment about the way that they played that Seattle game, even though they've played better since then. And they've won 5 out of 6. That's the one that they didn't win in the last 6. Winning 5 out of 6 at any point during a season is always going to be good. That's what needs to happen on Sunday, and hopefully it will. And if you want to find a place to watch it, if you're looking for a place to watch it, I got just the spot for you.
Where is that, Andy?
Join 92.9 The Game and Bud Light for a Falcons versus Saints watch party on Sunday, November 10th, 1 p.m. at Mazzy's Sports Tavern in Duluth. One of my favorite all-time spots. We had a great time there a couple years ago watching Hawks games. Remember that? You guys were all there.
That's what I'm saying.
It was wonderful.
We were there. Is that what? When were we there?
I don't know. A couple years ago. But
yeah. I remember us going. I think when
Mazzy's in general.
Yeah, I remember we had
Mazzy's in general are wonderful
I know we
places.
Had one. It was great.
Yeah, that was for a Hawks game.
Yeah,
was
awesome.
That
was
for?
Yeah.
We all went. Okay.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You can watch the Falcons game with me, Freddie Falcon, the cheer team, and my mom.
Yeah.
My mom's going to be there.
My Duke's coming through.
There you go. Come on. You can get a autographed AJ Terrell football, Falcons tickets, Bud Light specials. Must be 21 plus. Please drink responsibly. My mom will probably shotgun a beer with you if you want.
Hell yeah.
My mom doesn't drink beer, but
I mean, it's
she might
time.
If you ask.
Yeah, just get it. Mama on that Chardonnay.
Yeah, she'd probably. What kind of white wines do you have?
Yeah.
And then they would just say white.
White. Well,
I like the places that. What's your wine list? Red and white.
Yeah. Because a lot of times, don't stop being fancy, all right? Yes, drink box wine. I right? Don't think because we get out somewhere that you're going to be talking about some. What kind of wine do you have?
You know, they have pretty nice wines that come in a box now.
I don't doubt that. But don't be coming here thinking they got some old expensive stuff. Like, $5 a glass is perfect.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, $5 a glass.
$5
a glass.
And they got white.
Yeah. Like, how much? What's the typical price at the Truist Club? What? Yeah, you don't pay down there.
Well, I bet they have all kinds of wine down there. You guys probably got a whole list.
Y'all got some like, expensive ones?
Yeah, but it's not all the way on the top shelf because we do give it away. We have bars that have fancier stuff than what we give away.
Okay.
We give away nice stuff.
Sure. I know.
Oh, yeah. I'm just curious. Yeah. Like, what's the most expensive glass of wine down there?
Oh, like at the ballpark?
Yeah.
Oh, probably like $20.
$20 for a glass of wine?
Yeah, but it's like $20 for one of those, like, you buy a little package, and it comes with a tear top off.
Those are a thing, too. Those
and then
exist also.
You could pop the little bottom in there so it's got a stem on it, so you can have your own little fancy plastic wine glass.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty...
They sell fancy wine like
pretty
in the
involved.
Infinity Club and in the Delta Club.
Oh, okay.
But they do have the ones you're talking about.
My
also.
Wife will get a glass
little
of wine.
Little wine grenades?
Yeah, she'll get a wine grenade at the baseball
really?
Game every once in a while. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always, she's just a classy lady, you know?
Yeah, my wife, you know, just give her some tequila. she drank wine to act like she fancy. Can I have a glass of wine? I look at it all the time like, you don't drink wine? I'm going to end up drinking it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I don't believe in wasting.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, I ain't wasting nothing.
Put it in the tank.
Yeah, you better get it here.
It's all going to accomplish the same thing.
It is.
Smoking Joe Patrick's going to join us next. He loves wine. Big wine guy. Especially white wine. We'll talk to him next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
20 minutes away from the AMA to wrap things up here on a Trillville Thursday. That all rhymed intentionally. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Final hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We'll get to Smoking Joe Patrick in just
what's
a minute.
What's the difference between your purple and Washington purple and LSU purple?
I don't know. I mean, they're different. I think ours is a little bit of a, it's a little darker. I don't know what the, I don't know what we call it, like royal purple or something like that. What, do you guys have a name? Because a lot of schools have names for their purple.
Just purple.
Purple, and you guys are purple and gold.
And what's to know, I bought paint the same color, and I think it was just LSU purple.
Okay. Purple. Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, okay.
Like at Home Depot?
LSU purple, at least.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, whenever a team gets good, like Indiana right now, no one really ever talked about Indiana in football, but now that they're good, I think they're, like, crimson and cream or something like that,
yeah.
And it's not white. Their white is not white, it's cream.
Okay.
So you got to know that kind of stuff.
I guess. That's know? Like the same thing with your wife trying to pick out some damn color. Eggshell white, white white, light white, darker white, all that.
What are you going to say?
Just paint the walls white. just paint it white. Just paint the walls white.
We're trying to say.
I'm just saying.
White's
paint,
white?
Just paint the wall white, man. You know what I mean? I mean, between the Chardonnay, I don't know the difference between Chardonnay and all those different things. It's white wine. You know what I'm saying? Like, it all tastes the same after about three glasses. Am I right or wrong?
You're wrong. But
why am I wrong?
Well, because it tastes different.
No, it does not. Wine does not. After three glasses of wine, you need to tell me that you drink it.
I could gladly prove if you want.
What's your palate like better than mine?
No, but if I drink three glasses of wine and then you give me a blindfold and a couple different glasses of wine, I could taste them and tell you what they were.
I bet you can.
Like,
you can taste the difference between Chardonnay, Pinot Grigio.
100%.
Yeah, I could definitely do that.
They taste really different. They're very distinctive tastes.
I don't believe you.
Do you think that you could taste the difference between, like, tequila and bourbon three shots?
Of course you can. Okay. And it's a different. But if you're telling me, okay, so you line up Merlot, Cabernet.
Now, when you get into some of those dark red ones, I might not be able to taste the difference between, like,
that's
a Cabernet.
That's my point.
Okay, but I could taste the difference between Chardonnay and Pinot Grigio, or certainly, like, Chardonnay and, like, a red wine. Like, I could
obviously
taste the
that. Obviously.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a red and white wine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were just saying, in general, any wine, you drink three glasses of it, and then any more wine after that will all taste the same.
It will.
It won't.
It will. I bet. Well, Joe, we know how loves Chardonnay.
I laid the gauntlet down, and I'm happy to do this.
Yeah.
If you would like me to consume three glasses of wine,
that's what I kind
of
want.
Put on a blindfold and then do some taste testing.
Yeah.
In which I drink more glasses of wine. I'll happily do
let's
that.
Do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Actually, let's do it right now instead of talking. let's get Joe in here.
Chardonnay, Joe.
In one quarter, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday host.
That was incredible.
Question my wine palate.
And in the other quarter, 92.9 The Game's reporter Smokin' Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight.
I've been to wineries before.
I have too.
Swish it around.
Andy, I have too. I've done the wine tasting.
I've been to Napa and Sonoma.
And do you know what happened after that? I was like, Oh, this is the same one as you gave me before, ain't it? No, sir.
You trying to play a trick on me?
This one here, these grapes here. Now, these grapes came
from... See, I don't even like the voice you're doing.
The west side of the vineyard.
I don't even like that
voice. Now, these are the east side grapes. Those are the west side from the vineyard.
Now, I'm not trying to tell you I can taste the difference between like a 2012 and a 2013, whatever. I can't do that. But I'm just saying, like... What you were getting at, I could do.
I never said you couldn't do.
Hello,
it.
Joe.
Hey, Joe. What up?
This is absolutely incredible, guys. I'm just loving this conversation. I got to say, I am a Chardonnay guy over the Sauvignon Blanc, only because the only time I ever drink white wine is at a wedding, because you can just, you know, it's easy to drink.
Yeah,
you don't, it doesn't stain your mouth and whatnot.
Good point.
And I'm simply a Chardonnay guy because it just seems it's easier to say than. Sauvignon Blanc when you're at a loud bar, you know, so that's what I go with. And I'm with Randy. I couldn't tell you the difference between the two of them after one, let alone three or four. So, but I feel like with red wine, there's some more distinction.
I agree, Joe.
Oh, Lord. And I thought I was kidding when I said, oh, Chardonnay drinking ass Joe.
Let's talk about the distinction between the Falcons that played the Saints the last time they played and the Falcons that are playing the Saints on Sunday, because it feels like a very different football team.
Yeah, it does. Especially, I mean, I think offensively, because when the team played the Saints the first time, that was really before we had seen this team find their rhythm offensively. You know, it was that next Thursday after the Saints game where Kirk had the 500-yard game against the Bucs, and then that, I think, clearly kind of set in motion some things offensively for this team that they've been able to grasp onto, that's really kind of elevated the offense overall. And so, yeah, I think, you know, the fan in me is about to say, yeah, it's time to put that, everything that they've kind of, you know, gotten in gear since then, put that to good use and put a whooping on the Saints that kind of deserve it, maybe after the way that game last year in the Superdome ended. But it certainly does feel like a totally different dynamic for the Falcons team playing against this Saints team, with how they're playing offensively and with, you know, the Saints kind of being in this mode that, you know, who knows, maybe they'll kind of get jazzed up playing for an interim head coach and everything, but obviously getting rid of a corner in Marshawn Lattimore, it's going to be a blow for them. So should be an interesting dynamic, but, you know, just to kind of speak more about it, Andy, just like the way that the offense looks right now, it's so fun to watch this Falcons team. I know it's obviously frustrating at times watching them play on defense, but if I were to have to pick one, I would rather prefer to watch a team that's great offensively, just because it's so fun. And, you know, with what Zach Robinson is doing with the motions and everything, and honestly, just like the rhythm, the operation and the rhythm in which it's happening now is so much better than what it was looking like that first time they played the Saints. And hopefully they can use that to their advantage on Sunday.
Hey, JP, what was Rod's biggest reason for letting guys have a walkthrough yesterday?
You know, nothing other than kind of just like load management was given. You know, if I were to read into it, and this wasn't a conversation, but it was obviously a late night for a lot of people on Tuesday night with the election. So, like, I wonder if that kind of plays into it, just understanding that guys aren't going to maybe be as rested as they would on a typical week getting ready for a Wednesday. So just kind of planning that in. He did say that this was always pre-planned for a while, and that this won't be the first time, or this won't be the last time that they do a kind of non-practice, just walkthrough style thing on Wednesday. And I actually think it's smart, Randy, and I think that it speaks to a level of like professionalism and experience that this version of the Falcons has versus previous teams, where I feel like the coaching staff feels like they can afford to do this and it's not going to necessarily hamper the team's preparation. I can certainly envision a coach, you know, with a previous quarterback, maybe say a second year quarterback who's in his first year starting, who might think that they need to get as many reps in as possible during the week because the quarterback, you know, needs them, frankly. And I think that when you have a guy like Kirk Cousins under center, especially offensively, you know, there's just he's just so much better at getting this offense prepared as well as the coaching staff, that I feel like they can do a little bit of this kind of load management stuff that will hopefully help them physically on Sunday.
What do you think the biggest reason they didn't make a trade earlier this week was?
I don't think it's because they felt like they didn't want to bring somebody in. You know, and I do think that there is some conflation between needing a pass rusher and wanting a pass rusher. I don't think they necessarily, quote unquote, need one. You know, they're 6-3 right now. They're on track to make the playoffs. Would they want one? Absolutely. But ultimately, I don't think that they were willing to risk trading away yet another draft pick, you know, and we've talked about this in the lead up, but They already traded away a third rounder for Matthew Judon, and that one clearly has not worked out to the extent that they would have wanted at this point. And that alone should kind of spell out the risk that is actually inherent in these deals, where just because you trade for a guy who, you know, has a track record or even has, you know, produced sacks this year, doesn't mean he's necessarily going to come into the team and reproduce that production and necessarily going to give you the boost. Now, their odds are that he would, but there's just not that guarantee. And since there's not the guarantee, are you willing to risk giving up yet another pick? Because this team is down the third, like we mentioned, down the fifth from the tampering sanctions that came down earlier this summer. They don't have a sixth-round pick because of the trade they made for Van Jefferson, where they traded away their sixth and picked up a seventh from the Rams. So they do have multiple sevenths, but I think they just didn't have, ultimately, the reason why the deal didn't get done was they didn't have the kind of the picks to trade away, meaning like the ability to match value with other teams and what they would want given the picks that they had on hand. And so it just made it more difficult to make a deal, and obviously it makes it a different risk proposition when you're already down so many picks. So, you know, ultimately it's a gamble to trade for somebody. It's a gamble not to trade for somebody, right? Like, they're going to be on the guys they have on the roster to potentially step up. Who knows if they could, you know, sign a player that gets waived from a team. I know Yannick Ngakoue just got, you know, released from the Ravens. He was a you know, relatively higher profile edge free agent this past offseason. So there's still potential you could add a player, but ultimately I think you got to look at some of these younger players on the roster and see if they can kind of step up the level of production in the second half of the season.
JP, did you see what your, like I said, because you're there at the game, did you notice or anything that they were playing Caden Ellison in any different way?
Well, what I noticed from Ellis was it seemed like, you know, and it's something that they've done a lot this year, which is kind of get those inside linebackers and that kind of double mug look or that mugged up look, which is like that, those inside linebackers coming down and kind of positioning themselves right in between the center and guard and presenting that blitz. But what I've noticed earlier this season was they were just presenting that and then dropping back into coverage or dropping off lots of times. And to me, it looked like they were just willing to be more aggressive and kind of bold with Caden and having him either, you know, blitz right into that gap or use his position to then create a, kind of a stunt where he can loop around and some other players can get in position. I just thought that it clearly was effective. I mean, Caden Ellis had a great game, 13 tackles and a sack and a tackle for loss, played really well. And obviously the defense as a whole stepped up and got some sacks. And granted, it wasn't a great offensive line there for the Cowboys like we're accustomed to seeing from them, but I do think that it's got to give the players and the coaches some optimism heading into the rest of the year. And just, you know, you almost feel like it's almost like in basketball or something. You see a ball go down, and then that can instill some confidence and lead to some more. So hopefully it can. But I do think, you know, when it comes to the pass rush, we probably don't talk about Caden Ellis enough as being – a contributor there, because that's what he was when he was in New Orleans, and exactly. The Falcons made him an off-ball linebacker, but he really has a knack for getting to that quarterback.
I know there's still plenty of time between Sunday, but from an injury perspective, how are things looking?
It's looking really good, guys. It's looking as good as it has in several weeks, because it's looking like Drew Dahlman will be back. I was actually even a little bit surprised he wasn't on the roster for the game on Sunday, but they were taking it slow with him. Troy Anderson told media that he's going to play this week, so he's going to be back. Both those guys were listed as full participants in the estimated injury report that went out yesterday. The only guys who were estimated who would not have practiced yesterday were Matthew Judon with an illness, and so hopefully that's something. I wouldn't be surprised if he still remains out but then is able to play this weekend, assuming it's just some kind of typical cold or something. And then J.D. Bertrand with concussion. It looks like he's probably going to be out now for, you know, I would gather probably a couple weeks. We'll see. You just never know with concussion, but wouldn't expect him to be ready to go. But other than that, you know, everybody else was in, and it was a big point of concern because – you had Grady Jarrett leave with what was described as an Achilles injury. That obviously everybody kind of thought the worst. And especially knowing Grady, he is a guy who would like walk off the field with some catastrophic Achilles injury. But that's not the case. I even saw him walking around the locker room after the game. He seemed to be totally fine. And Drake London, too. He obviously left that game. It was kind of a big storyline there. But both those guys were estimated to have been limited yesterday. They might be limited again today, but I would expect both of them to be ready to go, and I think they expect to be ready to go as well.
Joe, great stuff. as always.
Appreciate it, Jay.
You've earned yourself a nice cold.
I'll get back to my wine tasting.
Yeah. You've earned it.
You've earned it.
It's 1:30 in the afternoon. I think it's time.
That's right. Yeah. Who's counting?
Smoking Joe Patrick there, our Falcons reporter, every single Thursday at this time.
Now, no, if it's all the same bread, like a Bigfoot, right? Is that what's called the Bigfoot brand?
I think so. Yeah, that's a wine,
Bigfoot,
right?
Or barefoot?
Barefoot.
You got a barefoot. I said they're Bigfoot. All right.
It's a foot on there.
It's a foot on there. Yeah. And we line up free wine. I forgot about the Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, throw that in there.
Sauvignon Blanc.
Uh-huh.
Pinot Gris, Chardonnay.
And Chardonnay.
That's what the
Those are the white ones.
Those are white ones. Mm-hmm. And we put them all there, fly for you, you'll be in the state.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. One thing I know, like the back of my hand.
What's that, Brian?
Whites.
You got to do that.
We'll come back and get to an AMA.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, it was an easy one. Back of my hand happens. Anyway, AMA coming up next. Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Load up the phone lines and ask us anything. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brought to you by RightFromTheHeart.org. AMA, yeah, what?
I keep forgetting this talk button ain't working. I was asked, Bo, you said that
Mike the Tiger is going to be on the sideline on Saturday versus Alabama.
Like in a cage?
I assume so.
Yeah.
I saw that Paul Skeens and his nice.
Paul and Livy, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be the guest pickers.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, LSU, royalty. Have them up there.
Yeah.
I looked it up. We just call it Husky Purple.
Okay. Husky Purple.
And what, it's
darker, isn't it?
It's inspired by the deep purple hues of Mount Rainier.
Oh, it's not dark. Yeah.
That's what the website says.
Deep purple.
Yeah, it's a deeper purple.
It is a deeper purple.
You guys
think a lot.
Well, you know how we feel about Rainier.
We love it.
Yes.
We love it. Love the name. They might change it.
To what?
The Native American name, Tahoma.
Are you going to change Jack's name?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I think he's just going to be Jack Rainier, one way or the other.
You're going to change Jack's name?
There's a lot of stuff up there that if they change the name of the mountain to Tahoma, like they did McKinley, it's Denali, right, in Alaska. There's a whole street. There's a valley that I grew up in called Rainier Valley. DeJounte and all those guys went to Rainier Beach.
Right.
Is it going to be Tahoma Beach now?
Sounds like it.
Maybe. I guess we'll have to legally change his name.
Yeah, man.
Jack Rainier Bunker to Jack Tahoma Bunker.
Jack Tahoma. I like that.
I like Rainier better, but Tahoma's not bad. All right. Mason's in Barnesville. Hey, Mason.
What's up, fellas?
Hello.
Hey, my question today is, who's the one player on the Falcons that doesn't get the recognition he deserves? So, you know, we're not talking Jesse, Kirk, Tyler. We're not talking no big names. Who's that one guy that needs a little extra credit?
All right. That's a good question. Thank you, Mason.
I think Mike Hughes played pretty good this year.
Okay.
I think Mike Hughes is good.
That's a good one. He gets no credit.
Yeah, I think Mike Hughes played pretty good this season.
Okay.
On offense, Ray-Ray.
Ray-Ray's been playing well. Had to spot start Ray-Ray in fantasy last week.
Nice.
That worked out.
Touchdown.
Yeah, that got very lucky.
Nice.
I had one. Maybe he's under. Like, I think Kadarius Hodge has done an amazing job when he comes in for
– Yes.
For Drake, because Drake's been injured a couple times this year. Obviously had that game-winning touchdown against
Correct.
Tampa. But he's just done a nice job when he's come in. Like, they haven't really skipped a beat.
He's definitely been the next man up.
Yeah.
In a good way.
We asked Dwayne Ledford, the offensive line coach, about this guy. I think Matthew Bergeron's been really good.
Yes.
Like, the left guard, you don't talk that much about the guards. We talk more about
Lindstrom. Yeah, that's why they pick offensive linemen, because I was like, yeah. Because Bergeron, I mean, he's just, like, since day one.
He's good.
Since day one,
he's just solid.
Since game in.
Yeah, he's really solid. Adam's in Ontario, California, or Canada?
What's up, y'all?
Oh, hey, Adam.
Yeah, Ontario, Canada.
Okay.
Oh, we big up there in the north.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about cold and windy outside up here, enough to make your nose run. But a while back, I called and asked Andy to rank the golfers at the station.
Okay.
Y'all remember that?
Yep, I do. I remember it.
So,
vividly.
Andy, I ain't heard nothing about it. They going to invite you to the golf tournament or not, the Brown Grass Classic?
Oh, yeah, we'll be there. I think we're broadcasting.
You gonna be out
that.
There?
Yeah, we'll be out
you
there.
You playing in it?
Well, we're on the air.
Was it?
The Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic.
When is it?
November 25th.
Okay.
Eagle Watch Golf Club.
Where's that one at? Have you been to that one?
Yeah, up that way.
Oh, yeah, that way.
North. I don't know. It's up that way.
Okay.
We went there last year and did the show from there.
Okay.
Right. And then we got to play. I played like five holes.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I'd rather do the show.
Yeah, I was going to see if you get a chance to back up your number one seed.
Oh, I mean, I guess not yet, but I will someday be able to back it up.
All right. Yeah. All right, I'll talk to y'all.
Right, it's safe, hard because all the times when we're at golf tournaments, we're on the air during the golf tournament, so we don't get a chance to play. But yeah, I feel no one's like disputed what I said. I don't think.
What'd you say?
That I was the best golfer at the radio station?
Who's better than you?
I don't know.
I've never seen
nobody. I don't think argues that.
I've never seen Carl or Mike play. I know Bo and Big Mike played in the ones on Friday.
Yeah,
I don't know how they play. And Abe said he can't beat you.
Even Abe says he can't beat me. So,
oh, okay. Well, look at my dude.
Smoking Joe Patrick is pretty good, and I think he wants a rematch. So we might do that sometime.
Oh, you beat him?
Well, we played on that horrible golf course. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I did, but it was.
No.
He wants to play on a real golf course.
No, what the hell's wrong with that? Was that 18 holes?
I don't even remember. It might have been. They have
tee boxes. They have a green. Boxes. Sounds like green. A real golf course
Sound
to
like
me.
Sounds like a damn golf course to me. Don't be that damn doggone letting Joe Patrick minimize your win.
Well, I'll beat him anywhere he wants to
exactly.
play. I'm just saying he wants a rematch.
Exactly.
And we'll do it someday.
I don't know if it's a real course. That sounds like something Joe said.
It was not a nice course.
It don't matter.
Joe booked it. Mike is in Atlanta. Hey, Mike.
All right, guys, real quick. Y'all was just talking about this. Lockjaw's for real in 95 in the Navy in boot camp. They put a cube in my mouth to get my teeth, and when they took it out, my mouth didn't shut. And it hurt to get your jaw reset.
I bet.
Out to sea, tornadoes and sea create a big whirlpool. Oh. It's the weirdest thing to see. And Port Taylor, it's like the Colt 45 of wine. It'll knock you down, make you take two steps sideways.
Sounds good.
My question today, between you and Randy, think of an actor that got a three-way movie. Tom Hanks got Forrest Gump, Green Mile, Private Ryan.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy got Coming to America, Life, and Harlem Nights.
Okay.
What other actor can compete with that?
Denzel's got about 15 movies.
Tom Cruise,
Robert De Niro.
Yeah, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon's got a lot of good movies.
Yeah, Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith has a lot of good movies.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. Those are good ones, though.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Yeah. But Samuel
Jackson, a lot of really good movies.
Yeah. The Rock. Well, you never seen Rock movies.
I've only seen a couple of them.
Yeah.
I saw Jumanji.
Oh, God.
It was fine.
Oh, God. He said fine. Jumanji.
Well, I mean, what other Rock movies are there?
None.
I saw... What other
Earthquake?
Ones?
Skyscraper. There's...
I did not like Skyscraper.
Skyscraper, no. San Andreas.
I saw that. I like San Andreas.
It was fine.
I don't like Skyscraper.
Walking Tall, The Rundown.
Mm-mm. No.
Some of the older, no.
What's the one where he was the Tooth Fairy? Yeah. Was it called The Tooth Fairy?
Oh, yeah. Game Changer, or was it Game Plan, something?
I didn't see that one.
He's the one where he's a coach in a jail.
Didn't see that one either. They all sound really good, so The Rock put him on that list, too. All right. Norris is
Snitch?
Norris is in Braselton. Hey, Norris.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hello, Norris.
All right, so going back to the first caller, the player I think that actually deserves some credit is Ryan Neusel, because honestly, I was really nervous when we lost Dahman earlier, so I would go there. But other than that, I got an NIL opportunity that I think that if any Georgia Bulldog wide receiver is listening at this moment, should take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever seen the movie Little Giants, you know, he takes him to the grocery store and starts throwing toilet paper rolls at him.
Right.
So he can get soft hands and he can catch the ball. And I wanted to see if y'all thought that might be a good idea. Get Carson up at the Walmart, throwing some Charmin down the hall so these boys can hang on to the ball.
We can see.
I think that's a good idea.
I saw they got some new recruits coming in. I saw Go Dogs.
Yes, some big receiver.
Yeah, got some big receiver. Is his commitment still open?
Yeah, I don't know.
The last time he committed to a team, he said, but my commitment is open.
Oh.
So is his commitment open or is he coming to Georgia?
If you got the Go Dogs, I think he's coming.
Okay, because
right?
my boy Coley be mixing up now.
Yeah, right.
Coley go get him, but I just want to know.
I think they got him.
Yeah, okay.
Big body receiver, right? 6'4".
I don't know. All right. Is he committed?
I think he's committed.
Is the commitment still open?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Sorry.
It's an open relationship.
Yeah.
Oren says he's committed. All right. Derek is in Charlotte. Hey, Derek.
I know he did commit it, but I remember when he committed to Florida State, but he said, I'm going to Florida State, but what did he say?
I don't trust
my recruitment is still open.
So I don't trust guys who are committed.
Is his recruitment still open?
I don't trust guys who are committed until they're on the field with the helmet on.
Yep. I don't know. Is never mind. You know what? Good for you. Welcome. Welcome, youngin.
Well, I can't welcome him yet.
I know. I can't do that.
He's not there yet.
Good for him. Yeah, yeah.
Derek is in Charlotte. Hey, Derek.
What's going on, fellas? Yo, I'm telling you, I actually got out of work early and tried to see if they was going to put something when the Hawks played the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? For the call in the new towns, I didn't hear nothing. But they should do the two live crew thing.
Yeah, they didn't.
You know what I'm saying? But another thing I was going to say, if y'all could own a snack or a meal at a game, what would it be and what would it be the name for it? Thank you.
If you can do what?
You got a snack at a game. So like stadium food named after you.
Mm-hmm.
We could do the Andy and Randy candy stand.
Okay.
There you go.
There we go.
And we just sell candy.
Yeah, we sell candy. You know,
that's three rhymes.
I ain't picky, Brian. You know, like, we got to get something like.
I've been eating a lot of nachos lately.
You know you want a sweet potato with some buttery goodness on it. Yam?
Yams.
Oh.
Randy yams?
I don't
Randied yams.
Randied yams. That's there it is.
There it is. Yams. We got there.
Randied yams. There it is.
Takeaways
right
of the day.
That's it.
We can't Randied do better
yams.
Than that.
The final stretch. It's time for the takeaway of the day.
Takeaways of the day every day to wrap up the show.
Keith Sweat has a candle.
Multiple.
Joe Patrick is a Chardonnay guy. And Abe is Elijah from Unbreakable.
Randy's been eating skins since before he had teeth.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so yeah.
$139, a lot of money for some wax.
Yep.
And Joe Patrick drinks Chardonnay because it's easier to say than Sauvignon Blanc.
I had a couple of them. You guys took some, but I got this one still. Joe Patrick be at weddings worried about mouth stains.
He did say that.
If you drink too much red wine, your mouth will stain.
Stain what color? True.
Red.
Your mouth or your teeth?
Teeth, tongue, mouth,
okay,
the whole deal.
Okay, but the way y'all said, like, it ain't going to go away.
Oh, it'll go away eventually, but it's like you got that wine tongue, you know? You don't want that. Tongue? Nobody wants that wine tongue. I've been there. It's treatable. Treatable. We'll see what Dukes and Bell have for you next. They're at Taco Mac in Marietta. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.